This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor Wrap Up Special International Edition covering the Bachelor Australia premiere. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong and special guest. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm ready for a trip down under. I'm yes. So excited. This is something that has been requested of us for a very long time. But here's the thing over here on the Bachelor Wrap Up. We are lazy. And if it's not the easiest thing to find in the world, we won't look for it. So that has been the case for The Bachelor Australia, but it has been handed to us on a silver platter and we could not resist, especially since we had the opportunity to talk to one of my favorite people on the Wrap Up Network, somebody that I ran into during the Robin and Kiva Need a Podcast Pointless episode, Shannon Gates. What's up?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, let's not talk about Pointless, but I want to talk about The Bachelor Australia. I'm really keen that we got to do this because to have a Survivor contestant be The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, like that must be a world first, right?
I think so. Like it can't
happen in the US because I mean we get questions like who would be a good contestant, but it's always hypothetical because it's on different networks. I don't ever see it happening. So it's really cool.
And on the US, they almost always do an ex-contestant from The Bachelor, right?
Yeah.
Almost. Is that not the case on Bachelor Australia?
So we've had, this is our 8th season of The Bachelor. We've had 5 seasons so far of The Bachelorette, and they do ex-contestants sometimes. I think they've done it about what will be next season of The Bachelorette will be the 5th time with an ex-contestant. But then other times they go for like eligible people, just like not even a public platform, just someone who seems quite eligible. Mm-hmm. And then they do the public figure thing. This will probably be about the 4th time they've done that. So like the last season of The Bachelorette was a woman who was on other Channel 10 shows like Gogglebox. She'd been on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. She ended up being on Dancing with the Stars, which is all of these are the same network. So they do like to cross promote and they don't always go with an ex-contestant.
So tell us your history with The Bachelor. We always ask our guests that. Have you watched the US Bachelor? Have you watched every season of Bachelor Australia? Have you seen any of the other ones? Or is this kind of like your first rodeo because it's a ex-Survivor contestant?
No. So my relationship with The Bachelor franchise is really patchy. What happened was the 2nd season of The Bachelor Australia was completely iconic. Like it was a national phenomenon. He ended up picking this girl who went on to be The Bachelorette, who was like Australia's sweetheart. She's now an actress. But by the time the show was finished airing, he had proposed to her, which is really rare in Australian Bachelor. And then they had already broken up by the time it had aired. And then he ended up getting with 3rd place and it was this massive national scandal and there were like all these interviews and like the whole country was captivated by this. So I started watching it then. And for a few years, I also watched then. That was like 2014, 2015. So I've got like a few years of US Bachelor as well from there. Like the Nick Vile is like for me, I've seen like all of the Nick Vile things, but like no one else. I watched like Ben Higgins, Caitlin Season, JoJo, Rachel and Bachelor in Paradise. Seasons 2 through 4 of the US. So it's like it's patchy, okay. But it's like kind of 2014 to 2016-ish, I think. And I've kind of kept up since. Like I watched most of Peter's season recently. And then for the Australian one, I've watched all of The Bachelor since then, all of Bachelor in Paradise and most of The Bachelorette. I've kind of fallen off recently because I feel like the guys aren't great. But yeah, so I've been into it, especially in lockdown. I was like obsessed with Bachelor in Paradise, which just ended. And now that obviously Lockie is the Bachelor, I'm like going to watch every second of it.
Yeah. And so you've seen some of those Bachelor in Paradise seasons, I think, had some U.S. contestants as well.
Yeah. And I knew them, like Jared came from Jared and Ashley. And I was like, this is really meaningful to me. Like, I completely know this person, but I'm like a huge Jared and Ashley stan. So I'm like happy he went back to her.
And we know a couple Bachelor Australia contestants because they appeared on Bachelor Winter Games. So I can't even remember her name, but she was part of the couple that made like truly international headlines because two of the contestants on The Bachelor ended up together, which is always what Amy and I want from a season. We want two of the women to end up with each other because they're always more eligible than The Bachelor. We also met Courtney, who I believe was The Bachelor.
No.
And I believe he wasn't.
He did. So he was on the best season of The Bachelorette we've had. I would say Georgia Love season. She's still with her guy and they're like really cute. And she had amazing guys, but she was really into him and he just was really non-committal. I think he made it to like top 4 or 5, but yeah, she had great guys though.
Yeah. So we had a great time with that. So you messaged me a couple weeks ago saying, hey, would you be willing to watch The Bachelor Australia? And I'm always willing to do something. Got a little else going on right now. So I was excited to watch it, but I was truly enthralled watching the episode, the first episode. And I was so excited that we got a second episode the next day. Is it usually this compelling or is it just because there's some like hype with him being on Survivor? And tell us more about Lockie because neither of us have watched him on either of his seasons, so we'd love to know more. Like,
I think we only saw a clip of his best moments and it was all challenge performance, so that's all we've seen.
He's a hot dude. Oh, but like
move over, Brad Womack, right?
This is the hottest guy who has ever led a series of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
I'm willing to put that in that he's the hottest guy I've seen lead like be The Bachelor.
Yeah, I mean, so my experience of finding out Lockie had been picked, that's where I want to start. Because, like, so there were a couple of rumors, like, the night before, but it was, like, hilarious. I thought they photoshopped the image. It was no way, because Lockie, it's not like picking Joe Anglim, who's, like, a fan favorite. Like, I asked my brother, who's a good U.S. Survivor comparison? He gave me Pete Yakowski, Bobby John, and Nick Majorano, which, like, honestly, were three pretty good picks, I think. But he's about a mid-tier character. He was just on Australian Survivor All-Stars, which was this year. I have his confessional counts. So we had 23 confessionals in All-Stars this year and 91 confessionals in his first season. Spoiler alert, he came 5th in his first season and 12th was the Merge Boot this year. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's a character, like, he definitely should have been an all-star, and he was, but he's not, like, this huge fan favorite. He's not top 10 biggest characters or anything like that. So he got voted out of Survivor, and I woke up. I'd had a late night. I, like, woke up at about 9 a.m., checked my phone half asleep, and it was like, Lockie is the Bachelor. Went back to sleep, and I woke up an hour later. I was like, I dreamed that they made Lockie the Bachelor. That was a strange dream. And then he really was the Bachelor. I was, like, ready for my exit interview with him, which I never got, because he was in lockdown to be the Bachelor.
Oh my gosh, that's wild.
It was wild. It was really, really wild. I had just seen Osha, who's the host. I did something on my Talking Tribal show with him, like, a week before. No one mentioned any of this to anyone. We obviously have friends of friends, me and Lockie, who have been on Survivor. They didn't seem to know. No one told me anything. It was very surprising. So Lockie, while it was ridiculous to me, I do like him as a pick now. I think obviously he's better looking than most picks they've had. He has more of a public platform than most picks they've had. Like, he's been charismatic. Like, I thought he was a good pick, and I'm interested to hear what you guys think about him. But I think he would be a good character. Like, he's a very emotional man. He's not immune to throwing a tantrum. Like, he was like the alpha male challenge beast, but like things could get to him pretty easily. You know, like if someone wanted to kind of picket an alliance, like there was a player who from the opposing alliance who openly found an idol and he'd go around wearing it. And like, it got to Lockie. Like, he's not this like stoic person at all. So I'm interested to see how those emotions come out. But the interesting thing about him is on his All-Star season, there was like a jokey comical scene where there was three women on his tribe, three single women, and they're like, Lockie is so hot, make him the Bachelor. So AK, a fellow ally, played Osha, and they did this like hilarious Savatula scene of him being the Bachelor. And I'm pretty sure that's what sparked all of this, just that like one comical scene on the beach. He also went on to date one of those girls, and there's some drama around that if you want to hear it. But
yes, I do. I always want drama.
So through that season, he was really close with Brooke. She's really pretty cool. Like, she seemed perfect for him, but they weren't official because he lives in Bali, right? And like, he couldn't do it because of the distance, and then he's the bachelor. So they were posting cutesy stuff with each other, like throughout, or she definitely was posting with him throughout the season. And then he gets voted out, gets made the bachelor, and she posted a whole thing saying that she was blindsided by it. She was meant to visit him in Bali next month. So I don't think they were official, but there was definitely like some drama around that. And I feel like people felt hard done by it because people really like Brooke. And it was a bit like, why are you taking the bachelor thing when you have this perfect girl that you can't be with because the distance is too hard. And like, whoever you're with, there's going to be a distance issue. So I think that was a bit of an issue. But besides that, I do think he's a really good choice.
I'm excited about that because I very much remember the conversation around when he was named the Bachelor, and I couldn't quite grasp if people were excited or disappointed about this guy in particular. And even the clip you retweeted about like Lockie's best moments on Survivor, it was a lot of challenge heavy things. And I was like, yes, this guy can bench press me. Amazing. Mm-hmm. But like, can he give a confessional? So I'm really excited to hear that he is emotional. We love a lead that is emotional and will share with us. And I was really impressed with him over the last two nights, or the two episodes. I thought he really told us how he was feeling, and I think he was honest with the women. And it's funny, I feel like he did wear his heart on his sleeve. It was very obvious who he liked and who he maybe is like, oh, okay, the producers want me to keep you. Like, it kind of, like, I felt like some of those picks were obvious. I like him so far. I'm interested to see where the season is going. Because in the preview, we saw that they shut down production and they did it over Zoom and then they resumed production. So yes, that's really interesting to see just kind of what happens there.
Yeah, Shannon, do you know the timeline of that then when they were shutting down? You know, because I think the timeline for North America would be different for when we had our shutdown.
Right. So he was voted out March 4th. That was when I was meant to have the ex interview. So it would have been starting right around then. And the whole country shut down right around probably 2 to 3 weeks later, if that. Mm-hmm. So they would have got a couple of weeks into it. Then they would have been Zooming probably till about June.
That long, eh?
Well, I mean, the country was really shut down. Like, I think they came back around June and then could have filmed until very recently. But I have heard in interviews that it actually made the connections much stronger because he was DMing with all of the women that were left. So he like got closer with all, he was like, it was really stressful because I was talking to so many people, but it did bring the feeling closer because I got to know them longer. And right, I know that there's similar things, no spoiler alert on some of the US stuff, but some of the chatting that was happening on the Bachelorette season that's currently being filmed, and that really affects things. So I'm interested in that. But in terms of his best moments, like, I think they would have put out the challenge stuff because that's who he is. Like, my best moments for Lockie, like, he wasn't immune to strategy. He was definitely like, he would lead an alliance. And what my favorite moment from him was he voted against his alliance and they couldn't work out who had voted against them. And they asked him to his face, like, did you vote? And he completely lied to their face, which I feel like doesn't happen often. And he just like did this exaggerated shrug, like, I don't know what happened. So that to me is like really bold. Like, I think he's got a lot of good moments. And there was a scene in his first season, a challenge where he got his pants were taken off by the opposing. It was like a wrestling challenge, and he did the challenge. Like, I'm gonna send you the clip. He did the challenge completely naked, and we don't blow butts in Australia, so it was just like everything was on display. And then everyone was tapping his butt after when he won the point. And like, I feel like if the bachelor scene made him the bachelor, but that was probably the precursor because that was that kind of a thing. So I'm surprised that wasn't the best moments. Like, that to me is like iconic Lockie. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to see that one for sure.
Yeah. I'll send it to you.
Yeah. I agree with what Haley was saying, that I just think he's a really great lead. And I didn't expect, I thought like, okay, I'll check out the premiere, but I didn't expect to be kind of hooked in, or shall I say locked in to like wanting to watch the rest of the season.
my God.
he's been really good, I think.
Yeah. I also just love how everyone is abbreviating everything, like Batch 2020, the Batchy, like Bachelor US would never do it. You do?
So in that first season, that the second season that everyone was obsessed with, there was a writer who did recaps, which were also like a national phenomenon, and she was calling it Batchy. So it's always called Batchy here. Nice. You guys not called Batchy?
No, but we're going to start.
Yeah.
That's for darn.
Yeah. You can have that one like a gift.
Yeah.
Is Lockie his Christian name?
Lachland.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
I'm interested in terms of like the zooming and everything like that. I know he said he's also willing to get engaged, which it would be nothing in the US where they always like have to get engaged pretty much. But only two proposals have happened on Bachelor, one in Bachelor in Paradise and one in that one season of The Bachelor. So people don't often end with a proposal. So that would be interesting to track if he's willing to go that far.
So you're saying they're a little more sane over where you are in Australia.
Yeah. Well, I think it is generally like way more down to earth. Like they travel at the very end, like for the last week, but they're not traveling the whole time. Obviously, it's not as extravagant. And the proposal thing, like we have a slightly better hit rate than you guys. I did the math. It was a lot better 2 months ago. Two Bachelorette couples broke up in the last 2 months. Lockdown is hard. But I think that the couples that have come out are really genuine. Like there are some amazing couples that have come out of the show. There's three babies, there's two weddings, two engagements so far that are like, I would be shocked if any of these couples didn't split up at any point. So I think that there can be some really good relationships coming out of it. The recent history is not good. We had a bachelor who chose no one. That was bad. But I think that there could be some really good stuff coming out of it.
Now, would the women have known that Lockie was the Bachelor? Does it leak that early or in casting, or were they all kind of surprised?
I don't think it would have because it was announced. All I'm taking is from this like exit interview day that I had. And also like none of them knew he was on Survivor, which I find really offensive.
Charlie.
So this to me was like an indictment on Primetime Channel 10 on Primetime Channel 10. He was like, they called him a hidden gem and he was on the network they're currently on 3 nights a week as leading up to them being on the show. Like he was so mad. He was not a hidden gem. So I don't know what. They're obviously not watching Survivor. I felt like this was terrible PR for Survivor that none of them knew who he was.
Yeah, because like you would think at some point, like The Bachelor and Survivor kind of like overlap. So you'd have commercials for Survivor during The Bachelor, or, you know, vice versa. So you would think like some of these women who are applying for The Bachelor would watch it and be like, oh, Survivor. Like, you know, you don't even like pay attention to the commercial, but like you see it and you kind of retain a bit. I was really surprised that only one person or two people knew who he was.
It was so insulting. It was the most insulting thing ever, I thought. I think they were calling him a hidden gem. And he's been on, you know, two seasons of the show, that one that is currently airing while they were filming. So I thought that was crazy. But one thing that they did, while All Stars was going on, and clearly he was in talks to become The Bachelor, they didn't edit him like he was going to be The Bachelor. Like, as I said, he got way fewer confessionals in that season, the one leading up to this. And also, like, they left in some stuff, like he said something about Brooke was his receptionist, when she was not arguably, she just was a better player than him, and just went way further than him, and he was just kind of like the face of the alliance. So they left that in, knowing that he was about to be The Bachelor. They did not edit this man, like, they wanted the nation to necessarily love him, just kind of maybe feel a bit met on him. But I think he turned it around in the premiere because I definitely thought he was more charismatic as The Bachelor. I mean, obviously he can give a confessional. He gave like 91 or whatever it was in his first season, but I thought he was coming across even better as The Bachelor.
Yeah. I like the tie-ins that, you know, Bachelor US, we love these analogies. It's always, you know, taking a risk or whatever for love and, you know, Lockie likes to dive head first, and can he survive he can survive in the wild, but can he survive single dates, which is what we would call one-on-one dates. So it seemed like we got that kind of cinematic intro for him of all his risk-taking type of his adventure career. So do you anticipate that will be like a lot of the dates that they'll do, or will he not suggest into that?
They always do, and my mom and I always laugh about it. Like, well, you can't be a good wife and partner if you won't skydive. But actually, for Lockie, Probably yes. Like, this stuff is actually really important to him, and it's good to have stuff in common with your partner. So I actually feel for the first time that these dates would be really relevant to Lockie. But then again, when they're coming back to film in June, what will be open? I don't think there's going to be very adventurous dates when they come back, because it still was like semi-lockdown. I mean, probably largely lockdown. Yeah. So I think it's going to be quite intimate dates instead.
Yeah, which could make for more interesting. Like you said, they have more connection over Zoom and their DMs. So that could be interesting. Mm-hmm. Haley, what did you think of the mansion setup? It's different than our setup.
I really liked it. And I think it's just because it was a little refreshing. I will say I didn't love how long the walkway was. It felt like they were walking for 5.5 hours. And it was interesting to me how much time it felt like they had with Lockie in the introduction, where I feel like on the US version, you get like a minute tops. You say your name, or you do your little thing, and then you're in the house. Where this, it felt like he spent time with everyone. And I almost feel like by the end of the night, he probably could have named all of the women. I don't know if that's like a crazy take or not. A lot of fairy lights, and I liked how much they made fun of like how many fairy lights there were.
Yeah,
they feel very aware, which I think I like.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the not to bring up Labor of Love again, but just kind of like it was more like a country setting and like a beautiful home, but more of an outdoor space that they could have, which is pretty nice.
Shannon, do they use the same building like every year? This is the Bachelor Mansion.
Yeah. So they've done that for Bachelor and Bachelorette, and then Bachelor in Paradise, they have like the resort that they go to.
One thing I did like is that they, when they're being brought to see the Bachelor, they don't get to see him from the car or the limo. And so walking in, you get their genuine reaction when they see him rather than like getting to kind of compose themselves in the limo beforehand, because they have to kind of make that turn and have that walk up. But yeah, it was a little bit more like walking down the aisle of getting married or something. I think Locke even said, like, I feel like I'm getting married or something. So,
yeah, I mean, I feel like they weren't massive gimmicks this time. The drums was a big one.
Yeah.
I know in America there are huge gimmicks, and we've had some bigger ones before. Like, there was a guy who won a season who brought a donkey.
Okay.
But I didn't feel like there was anything massive this time.
No, we had a penguin.
I feel like that and the penguin suit, which I thought was kind of like a fun little pun almost, like we're both wearing penguin suits. Other people in the house were not passionate about that joke.
Hey, it was so angry about the penguin.
Yeah, so is there anyone who stood out to you in these first two episodes?
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like there's like that triangle of villains, and I think that's a bit different this season. Like, usually there'd be one obvious villain, and now there's like three competing to be the biggest villain. I wanted, like, okay, so Zoe Claire,
yeah,
and her Ranga rant. I was told I would have to explain what Ranga meant.
Yeah. I know what it means because I watched Summer Hay Thai.
Okay. Right. Okay. I haven't heard it. Is it ginger?
It's like the meaning term for a redhead taken from orangutan.
Oh.
But her rant about how she was being marginalized for having red hair in a fight with like the only person of color on the show.
Truly shocking.
Yeah, it was iconic. I don't know why they didn't advertise it more, because it was truly iconic television. And it's gone so viral here. Like, there are TikToks of her doing it. There were articles like ranking the best lines from the rant. I actually have it in full. Like, I copy pasted it in full, because there were just articles about it. Like, this was a great TV moment from the premiere. Like, she's already an icon.
Yeah.
People have gone back digging. They found that she had blonde hair at one point. Everyone felt really betrayed by that. There was a lot going on with Zoe.
Yeah, she
Claire.
Said it was natural.
Well, I think it was natural, but she said, I'll be orangutan till the day I die. And she was blonde at one point.
Right.
Like, what a betrayal of her conviction.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And this was, with Ariba, who interrupted her. But it was a unique type of interruption where she just joined the conversation. So, Haley, I don't remember seeing something like that before.
No. And honestly, God, I like the move. I don't hate Ariba. They want me to, but I don't hate her.
So Australia doesn't hate her either, I think.
Okay.
Good.
Very much Team Ariba and hates Zoe Claire.
Well, it just felt like Amy and I are on the side of, like, you do what you can to make your time. Be respectful to the other women. And I don't really think what she did was that disrespectful. I guess she didn't say, like, hey, Zoe Claire, but it was like joining the conversation. I thought that was kind of like a fun way to do it, honestly. Zoe Claire did not feel passionate about that. Or no, she did feel passionate, just like not a positive passionate.
Yeah.
And then at one point, Zoe Claire said that she looks like a mole. Like, is that like
what
the
does
animal?
She mean?
Or like okay, the all right.
Animal or a spy?
That is a big insulting term in Australian reality TV. That's not like a weird. Oh, so you guys don't have mole? That's interesting. Yeah, like you're a mole. I don't even know where it originated, but that's something that's definitely said a lot by people who hate each other on Australian reality TV.
Huh. Like what? Like what?
Game on moles? That's what they use. Where's that from? I'm gonna Google it.
Like what is it? Like what is like the meaning behind it? Because I kind of honestly like took it a little as like a racist comment. Like because the color.
No.
I was like,
it's
oh,
literally just reality TV.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't look. Okay, it says "Game on Mole" is a history of the most iconic line on Australian TV. Who originally said "Game on Mole"? It was from Big Brother, and it now is just like a part of our reality TV. There you go.
Okay.
More you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have you here to give us some like context.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't even know that that's like unique to Australia. So that's interesting to me. But yeah, I think that confrontation has been the biggest takeaway from the week. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of stuff, like one of a past contestant from last year on her Instagram gave the inside scoop of why Zoe Claire wasn't at the rose ceremony. And it was like a Daily Mail article. Like the inside scoop is that she was like really drunk and vomiting. Like how is that surprising to anyone?
Right. Like, yeah. When they said she was sick, I was like, girl had too many wine coolers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next morning she was like, I slept really well. I'm like, you were passed out. Come on, honey. Like, but the thing is like, even the next day after she sobered up, she wasn't like, well, I'm really embarrassed by that. I like take sorry, Ariba. Like I take, she like stands,
down.
I love how they showed the producer. Like they actually had the producer's line saying like, did she say anything to you about this? Like, that's why she was coming after you. And she was just like, no, but it didn't lead to any self-awareness that, you know, maybe that wasn't the reason that I was interrupted. So is that a common thing that they do?
That red girl. Well,
that's true.
But I don't know what's happening there. So to give context for where we're currently at in the Bachelor franchise. So we just ended Bachelor in Paradise, as I said last week. And there was a lot of complaint from the contestants that they were being like Australian TV, I think, will frankenbite a lot. Like you can literally hear them saying, I hate Jessica. Like it's clearly from different confessionals. And a lot of the contestants called out that they were like completely misrepresented. One of the characters said he was going to like sue the network. So I think there's a lot of, I don't know, we want some more transparency around production. I think like even me, when she said, has anyone said anything? And she said, no, it's probably true, but I wouldn't be surprised if they like dubbed what the producer said, for example. I think there's a lot of distrust with production at the moment with the Bachelor franchise. But at the same time, like you can't edit what Zoe Claire did. And clearly she was going a little bit insane.
Right.
And so Ariba, we touched on slightly. I kind of don't hate Ariba that much. I think she's fun. I like a woman who's super confident and is like, hey, I'm like, she did go with the boss thing a little much, but you know, to each their own.
Was she the only one to get a video package?
Yeah, she. How weird was that? Do you think she was going to do it after, and then because of lockdown, they couldn't?
Oh,
interesting.
Maybe.
And then our other kind of villain was Laura. I hated her the first night, but I kind of liked her the second night.
Laura. Laura is. I mean, I was confused about why she thought she was like, that man was on Survivor, the man in a suit. It's like, yes, he had an outfit change, Laura. but I like she's an obvious. She's the kind of person who would be the only villain in a different season. But now we've got the three.
Right.
But I think she's super entertaining. Like they clearly all sticking around for a while and have no chance. And we'll see her on Bachelor in Paradise next year, I'm sure.
Yeah, clearly a producer pick when she insulted Bali like right in her intro, which is his, you know, where he lives. So yeah, not a good look, but we need her around to keep the drama going. I also like that she was just complaining about the drums going on while she was waiting in the car. It's just too much. Haley, what did you like about her the second day?
I don't know. I just thought her like confessionals were kind of funny rather than like rich girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't love, like, oh, like the girl in the penguin suit came in this and I'm wearing this beautiful sparkly dress. Or like she came out of the limo and was like, I think it was her. She's like, look how sparkly I am. I'm like, this isn't about you.
Right.
I just thought the second episode, she was just kind of had some like fun, like bitchy lines. I don't know.
Yeah. She didn't, when she was being the jealous sister and that photo shoot. Who are your front runners? There's a few that stood out to me, but I want to hear what you guys think.
Bella, definitely.
Yeah. The country is very much behind Bella at this point.
Yeah, I noticed the wifey music behind Bella coming out of the car.
Like, total wife music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Who was the one that dressed up as the man in the
Steph?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the first out of the limo. She's good too. And I think Irina is the other one, the nurse.
Yeah.
And everyone very much behind. And I think as well, like, obviously, I think it's Roxy. Nicole, who the dancer, who he gave the rose
Nicole,
to. So obviously she has the rose. So that seems like a good connection, because she was talking about how she works on cruises and stuff. So clearly she's someone who's like up for adventure and travel, which is pretty important if you're going to move to Bali to be with a man. Like a pretty big commitment.
Right.
Speaking of her, can you explain to me the triple threat rose?
No, I don't know what that is. Like, is you explain to me, is that a big deal?
No,
like,
why?
We don't have,
this is worldwide history. This was
they
were debuting it. So,
yeah.
Haley, do you think this is something
is that a big deal?
Well, no, because we have, like, the U.S. has
first impression rose.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's look this
up. We've had that, but we've had variations of that. And I guess this is that, where she gets to go back to his bachelor pad and have a single date and go on a group date.
Yeah, what I thought. So when they first debuted it, I was picturing, okay, so for the first week, she's going to get the one-on-one. She's going to get to go on that group date that week. And I thought it was all kind of going to happen that next week. But then she was talking about, like, I'm not going to play it right now. It's too early. So she actually has agency over when she can use it.
And it's like a hidden immunity battle.
Right. I thought there was like a little survivor overlap
that
there.
That is what it feels like.
Yeah. So like, is he going to get rid of her before she's used it? If she like hasn't made an impression on him and then she's wasted it, or can she wait it out as long as possible, knowing that she has this guaranteed time with him later on in the show? It's like pretty strategic.
Right. Yeah. I can't see that working for the US, Haley, in terms of, I don't think they could ever dictate when they're going to use it, but maybe I could see them doing something like this where for the first week or something, like, and because I think that would really make people upset because time is the biggest commodity.
I agree. I think it's really interesting and I'd like to see where it goes.
Like, I'd love to see someone go get a one-on-one date and go on a group date that same week. Like, that would just bother everyone so much.
I'd love to see someone not use it because they're waiting and waiting for their time and then get sent home with it in their pocket. Like, that to me would be iconic TV.
Exactly.
But I think there's some strategy as well from Lockie, because I think people were confused, why did Bella not get the first, like, the rose? And that is like the first impression rose, basically. So he should give it to the one he feels the most about. Mm-hmm. But if he wants to take Bella on that first date, he can't give her that rose where she decides when her date is, and then take her on the first date the next day. So I think there's some strategy there that he maybe just really wanted to take Bella on a date the next day, so he like put it in his own hands.
Well, and you mentioned you watched Nick Viall's season, and I've heard Nick Viall talk about how he didn't want to give the first impression rose to Vanessa because he didn't want to put a target on her, like, when he already knew he really liked her. And he kind of, I think, gave that advice to other bachelors, like, don't necessarily give the group date rose to your favorite person. Whereas the bachelorettes, so many of them end up marrying who they give the first impression rose to. So that could be a little bit too, like, producers not wanting to give too much away, or saying like, well, you don't have to give it to like your favorite person, but, you know, someone that you're intrigued by and you think will be around a while. How would you rate Nicole and Lockie's reenactment of Dirty Dancing?
I thought it was impressive.
It's not the first Dirty Dancing reenactment we've had on Australians. They do a lot of it.
Really?
And yeah. So, and also people were asking, why didn't they do the Titanic on the boat the next day with Bella?
Oh yeah.
Apparently that's been banned. Usher banned it because there was a bachelor who did it so much and he was just kept Titanicking everywhere. So they banned it. So we need to stop with the references, clearly.
That's so funny. Yeah. I like Nicole. I thought that was a good choice of an entrance to wear her, you know, it was like spark conversation to wear her costume. But she still looked great. And do you agree with Laura that Lockie just seems to really be into costumes?
No, I think he's into like girls with nice faces.
Yeah, Laura just loves to complain. She's like, I could have worn that. But the point is that you didn't. The fact that she would and you wouldn't is why he likes her. Like, that's, you're a completely different person. Like, I could do that, but you didn't. So, I don't know. I've got some feelings about Laura, but I do think that she's an amazing, amazing character. I do think that, like, to her point, I wouldn't say it to his face, but, like, him living in Bali is a really big deal. Mm. And he lives half his time in Perth, which is on the other end of the country for most people. And then in Bali, that's a whole other country. That's like being like coming to the US bachelor and being like, I live in Mexico half the time. Like that would be a massive deal, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I agree with you. Cause yeah, it's not even like he's like, I live there and I'm a free spirit. Like he has a business there. Like that's not nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're going on the bachelor, you would assume, hey, maybe we'll be in like an interstate long distance relationship, or hopefully they'll be in like either Melbourne, Sydney or Brisbane, which is like the three major cities all within an hour of each other. But Perth already is like pretty far away and like a pretty big commitment. And then half the time in Bali, I feel like it's like a massive, massive commitment to make. So
why want that flight?
I've never been to Bali, but I will look it up. But it'd be a few hours and it's genuinely like you'd go through customs. It's a completely different country. So I think that apparently there were rumors, and who knows if they're true, but a few of the girls were like concerned about the fact that they were competing to be the partner of a man who lives half his time overseas. So,
and I would think that's like a really big deal. But it would be interesting to find women who are like, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful to me. I don't like, I love the adventure. Cause like, that's kind of what he needs, right? He needs a girl who's going to go along with that adventurous side and be fine with his business. And I don't think he should have to give that up for whoever he finds on The Bachelor.
Yeah. Well, apparently it's 4 hours from, I don't even know where in Australia that is, but roughly a few hours. Like that's why I thought he gave the rose to Nicole, because she said she worked on cruises in the Philippines. So if you're willing to do that, clearly you're not like super rooted to a place, you're clearly up for adventure, and you would move to Bali, which is a pretty big deal.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's see. What? Rosemary was one in the penguin suit, and he chose to take her away first, which I thought was a cute move, like a way to, you know, make her, you know, it can be really hard to be the one in the, it can go one of two ways. If you wear the costume, they either like it or you're just like the wacky person that gets out right away. But she had a gorgeous dress on underneath, so
that was impressive.
Yeah, to be able to like, okay, I'm just gonna wear it a little bit. Haley, do you remember was it the sloth or somebody who like was not committed to the bit at all, so it didn't really go that well on one of the seasons?
I think it was the sloth.
Yeah, and then. But then Alexis was the dolphin slash shark, and she did pretty well. She made an impression, but yeah, I liked how she like had an out if she didn't want to, you know, stay in the penguin suit, and was able to look great and transition really quickly. And so there wasn't anyone like that was really wacky. Like it just, she just likes penguins. So.
Yeah. I thought that was like the wildest entrance. I thought the drum was kind of cool. I like the fireworks, but most of them are very much just like, hi, I'm this person. I loved Izzy. She was probably one of my favorites. She dropped her inhaler and she had a really, really infectious laugh.
She laughed at everything. She was like, I only want to be with a man who makes me laugh, like gives me an asthma attack from laughing. And then she laughed at everything and seems to have really bad asthma. I'm like, such a low bar. Like, surely anyone would make you have an asthma attack from laughing. Like, when he said hello, she was laughing. So she's a very giggly person, clearly.
I think that's the one that he told to picture me naked as well. So apparently she just has she to look at the clip, to. Right?
Yeah, if these people knew what Survivor was. I also feel like in the break when they all go to their Zoom dates, don't you think they're binging those seasons of Survivor because they had no idea?
Oh, yeah. Smart. Do you think the producers were clued in that Lockie does not like spicy food? Because we had Izzy also bringing chili peppers for him to eat and Steph getting upset that he didn't like Chipotle sauce.
I think it must have been a strange coincidence. I mean, why would they tell the girls that?
Yeah, I don't know. Or just encourage, like, ooh. Yeah, you couldn't really handle that. Let's see, who else? I also thought it was strange that it didn't seem like you eliminate that many people the first night. Only two.
Yeah, so it's like they eliminate so many in the U.S., don't they?
Like, a lot? The
like
first
eight
night.
Or nine.
Yeah. Usually.
So I guess he got rid of like no names.
Yeah, their cast usually starts off with 30. How many people were here?
We had 23, and then the intruder on the second night would have made it 24, which screwed up so many sweeps, you know, like office pools. Mm-hmm. Like my friend and I, we did a sweep, and now this intruder, Caitlin, isn't in it.
Right.
So we have to just give her to my cat.
Is she from anything? She looks really familiar.
People have said that, but I don't think that she is.
So I know I've seen intruders on the Australian Big Brother, but is it not something that has happened before on Bachelor Australia?
Well, there's usually intruders, but they come in like really late in the, you know, halfway through.
Oh, okay.
And then one came second one time, but like no intruder has won. So we were like, well, my friend said, okay, just give the pick to your cat. Like they never win. And I'm like, this girl came in the day two. Like she's not even an intruder.
Right.
She just screwed up the office pools. Like she's very much in it. But last season, they had, I think, 8 intruders come in on day two. And the divide between the day ones and the day twos was like, it was crazy. It was so tribalistic. Like, if you were an intruder who just wasn't there on the first night, there was this massive divide between the girls and, like, this huge split in the house. So I think they're really going to treat her like an intruder, despite the fact that she arrived probably, like, you know, 48 hours later, if that.
Yeah.
But, like, why not have her on night one? What's the point?
Because it was like a whole big reveal, I guess, that she came in.
The wedding dress.
I don't get it either.
But I felt like that's why she was like that. I thought that's why she was like somebody, because she wasn't on the first night. I don't know.
Yeah, with
the
preview, she's not. Like, I thought she was too.
Like, the whole point is it's just like shocking that someone would come in 2 days later, which does seem insane. But then having had the intruders come in last season and seeing how badly that went down for the girls, like I genuinely do think this is going to be, she's always going to be the intruder, even though it's been a day and a half since they've been in the house. So I don't know.
I think we're used to like intruders is not really a common thing. So if someone's showing up, it's like they're an ex or they were on a past season, like Nick trying to show up. Caitlin or something. Like, so I expected them to be like, oh, that's so-and-so from
ex-girlfriend. Well, I mean, if it had been Brooke, like Brooke from Survivor, then that would have been, but she would never do that. But
and they wouldn't know who she was.
Yeah, they'd be like, who is this? Is a hidden gem, isn't it? No, she's on TV right now. Turn on the television. She's there right now.
Another character I loved was Charlie. She was the only one who recognized him. And
yes,
swear on my eyebrows. So I thought that was a new one. I hadn't heard that. Is that
Charlie? She wasn't insulting to Survivor, which is obviously my life's work. Like, so insulting that no one knew who he was. So I'm rooting for Charlie.
Yeah. Let's see. So the first night, they kind of do what the U.S. does where some of the intros you don't see as much of, or they kind of like do a little like, you know, gloss over it, have a little talking over. I don't know if we learned everyone's name even. You can kind of tell who are going to be the main characters. And then he comes in, and I don't think there's anyone that was not impressed with Lockie. Like they were all like madly in love with him right away.
He's so hot. How could you not?
Exactly.
Like, if I ran into that dude in the street, I'd be like, thank you, Lord, for giving me this blessing.
Yeah. I mean, I would say objectively, for me, second hottest Australian bachelor we've had.
Who's the hottest for you?
So there was a guy who came second on another season, Matty J. He's not as like tall, dark. I mean, he is tall and dark and handsome, but Lockie's like more, I don't know, rugged or whatever. Like Matty J was just really cute. I think really good looking, so likable. He got his heart broken on The Bachelorette and everyone was rooting for him and he's still with his winner. So for me, that, and my dad coaches him in tennis. So he's my favorite and it's going to be hard to beat Matty J, but I honestly think Lockie has to be up there. Like, he's so conventionally attractive. He's much more charismatic than most. Like, he's a really good bachelor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this Matty J guy is a good looking guy, but I have to go Lockie still.
Have you seen him without a shirt on? Because that changes. But I think I'm
him holding Matty a baby. J. Like, him and his girlfriend just had, or wife, yeah, or had a baby.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's always gonna be my favorite, but I think Lockie is better than a lot that they've had. I can see why they were all kind of overcome by him, because considering none of them had ever seen him before, like, he must have been really impressive.
Yeah. I also wanted to ask about Laura's intro, where she brought him, she called it a chatterbox. So we call it a cootie catcher here, but it was, Haley, do you have a word for that thing with like the folding?
It's cootie catcher.
Cootie catcher too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never known the word for that at all.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever described just something.
Yeah. So the question that he landed on was, how much will you spend on my birthday present? And
on brand for Laura.
Yeah. I wonder if that was under every single tab, like something along those lines.
How much will you spend for Valentine's Day? How much would you spend for an anniversary? Right. Those are good questions.
So he was more like, you know, I like to more experiences, and like an answer that I thought was a great answer, but she's like, yeah, well, I've gotten $1,000 bag basically. Mm-hmm.
And do you think he wrote her off in that exact moment?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think being all his values are literally, she was like living everything. Life and her values are buying product. I think he probably saw it as a pretty big, extremely different change of values. Like, I think, like, for him, because he is a more emotional guy, you can see when he can't fake it as much. Like, he clearly is never going to like Laura. Even Reba, when he was kind of insulting that she said she was a boss 137 times. Like, he's clearly not into it, and they clearly there to be characters, and he's bad at hiding it, which is kind of cool and transparent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I thought Reba mentioning she's a boss or bossy would be a good drinking game for this. And then, let's see, we have, yeah, Arena was another one that stood out. She's a nurse, and so he thought he does a lot of stupid shit, so that would be good. I liked her. And then we have the cocktail party, and this is where I thought it stood out that they were a lot more hesitant to interrupt. So Ariba doing that was, like, one of the few people that kind of tried to get time with him. Do you think that The Bachelor is a little more fair and does get time with everyone? Or is that a storyline that happens a lot where I didn't get to talk to him at all, which we see in The Bachelor US?
I still think we see that. Okay. But Lockie did seem fair, and he was very much like, I will come and talk to you. So I would assume everyone got some time. Mm-hmm. I know it's the same in the US where it's like morning by the time the rose ceremonies are finished often. So I would assume that there was time. And I think people do interrupt. I just think, as they said, like, she interrupted the wrong girl. So Eclair was just absolutely not going to let it go.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Lockie also said he was looking for a girl that jumps in his arms. He kind of said that before. And that's just a staple of Bachelor US, that every girl that gets a one-on-one date just jumps in the guy's arms. So I don't know if that is a trademark there or not, or if it was really unique that Nicole jumped into his arms.
There's more leg wrapping, I would say, in the US, okay, from my limited knowledge. Yeah. Everyone wraps their legs around the Bachelor in the US.
Yeah, you just have to.
It's like a staple.
Mm-hmm. So we have the rose ceremony. There's 20 roses, so only two won't get it. Nicole already has the triple threat rose, which was the worldwide Bachelor first. Mm-hmm. And the host says Zoe Claire has taken ill, but Lockie has asked that she gets a rose. I love that, taken ill. But he has asked that she gets a rose.
It's like vomiting sounds from the bathroom.
Right,
it's
right.
Away.
I feel like Bachelor US, they would show, like, her throwing up. They would show the whole, you know, like the bachelor like would go talk to her. Coming. Yeah, they'd have the ambulance sirens.
How much sirens. Lower could Zoe Blair have gone that night? Like, I feel like that would have been unfair. They already have a rant that literally has gone viral on TikTok. Like, Zoe Blair has been through enough for one night.
Let's see. I don't think I have all the names to run through who he chose, but he eliminates Paige, and I want to say, was it Adai?
I don't know. Nadine, was it?
Nadine? I don't, yeah, so I didn't know how
to say it. I only know that because she did a podcast interview and like slammed the whole franchise in the last week.
Oh,
so.
Dear.
Okay. Ooh, what'd she say?
She said that like Lockie is a total playboy and that he'd already like made this is coming from a podcast that is basically like the Daily Mail of podcasts at this point,
right?
And has like all the bachelor gossip. I don't know, like he had deals with someone before that he was going to pick them. He was like, you know, I don't know, I actually didn't even listen to it, I'm just getting the crib notes from my friend, but like he was like hooking up with other people on the break and stuff like that. So I don't know. She seemed very angry about everything based on my friend's crib notes of this very rumor-laden podcast.
Yeah, I have to imagine that you can get a lot more information when everyone's just in lockdown and you're not like under the control of the producers 24/7. So
I mean, she definitely would not be allowed to do what she did. As someone who does exit press for a Channel 10 show, I feel like this is like incredibly unkosher, and she probably broke a contract to do that, but maybe she doesn't care because she went out night one. I don't really know.
Right.
I mean, they could sue her. I wouldn't have done it if I were her.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard. Yeah. That's like really expensive price tag if you were to get sued. So then we go into after they're eliminated. Kind of the ending of the first episode was the cliffhanger was on Zoe Claire. Well, Shannon, correct me if I'm wrong, because I was watching on different clips. So, but I think it was with talking about Ariba targeting her for being a redhead. And then we move into the next episode where we have, so that we'd have 21 people remaining. And one thing I liked about that's a little bit different with the date card is instead of a clue about like what the date is going to be, it was a clue like who he's giving the single date to, like, this is a person, first impressions last and your gift from the heart, you know, made a mark with me or something like that. And so then the women were all speculating, like, could it be Arena because she had the stethoscope, or, but it was pretty obvious it was Bella because she gave him that little heart pin. But Haley, I thought that could be kind of a good way to cause drama on The Bachelor by having a clue, like, I was struck by your beauty, or, you know, we had a great conversation or something at night one, and then just like cause paranoia with all the women in the house.
Yeah. I like that. Actually. I love the, like the clue.
Yeah. So Bella is chosen for a sailing date. Shannon, what do you think of this date? Is that pretty typical? First single date.
Yeah. Like an activity and then like a picnic type of, or like dinner. Usually it's like some sort of activity and then they get led to like couches with candles and cheese or whatever. So I guess it was like the picnic version of that. I thought it was a really good date. Obviously they seem to have awesome chemistry. And I think, you know, what my mom and I always say, whenever they pull a rose from behind their butt, we call it an ass rose. And this was the most impressive ass rose of all time. Like, he went to the bottom of the ocean to get it.
So this is not like a new thing. Like, it wasn't Lockie didn't invent this move.
No, he definitely did. Like, usually it's just behind them, you know, like on the couch or whatever. Oh, like, okay. Apparently what it is that he's like an actual, you know, experienced and certified diver, and he went to the bottom of the ocean and he got it. That's what I heard.
I was impressed by that.
Yeah, I thought it was impressive.
Yeah, we don't really see anything that creative.
I would love the interjected like confessionals of is he coming back? After what?
Pretty dangerous stunt for, you know, first date, but I thought that was good.
Yeah, and she thought, like, he was about to lean in for a kiss, and he just, like, goes underwater. Haley, I can't think of any time we've had something like that where it was a, you know, it's usually, like, pretty obvious that they're going to go get the rose.
It's, like, always on a platter.
Yeah, it's just sitting there, looming the whole time.
Right. So, an Australian Survivor, I mean, just listen to me. An Australian Bachelor, I feel like it's not on a plate. Like, they usually pull it out of nowhere. That's why we call it an Rose. Well, like, where did he get that from? Right. And this as well, but this was like the extreme version.
I like that. That's a lot of potential. Like, we could have, they could be on a magic show date and it like just appears.
Pull it out of a hat.
Yeah. They could do like the fireworks show and it could be like a rose shaped firework. I don't know. There's a lot of potential there. I think The Bachelor US should, I don't know if they would, like, I feel like they're too, like, were the original. Like, they would never take an idea from somewhere else. But, you know, they did have Bachelor Winter Games and they did bring in contestants from other franchises, so maybe, because I want to see them introduce some different things like this. And then the group date was something pretty typical that we see, where it was a photo shoot. It kind of reminded me too of like when they do like telenovela or soap opera, acting out some kind of, or a Western movie, because they all had roles to play in this photo shoot in different scenes, and not everybody had the most ideal costume, but
yeah
it was more about like how they played up to it.
So they always do the photo shoot as the first group date in Australia, and it's always different concepts or themes. And then, and always some people get stitched up. I think last season of The Bachelorette, someone quit because it was like an animal theme and he had to be a chicken, and he literally quit. He never came back.
I feel like Steph could have quit in this moment, but she handled it very well.
Yeah, she was like, I would have cried. Like, knowing myself, if everyone else got to be in like gorgeous dresses and I had to wear a mustache, like, I genuinely would have been bawling. I don't have the self-confidence to pull that off. But she was like, she shone. Like, if they had given a group date rose, surely she would have got it, because she like obviously had the hardest thing and she just ran with it and she was amazing.
Yeah, she was unrecognizable. I mean, they like, she looked like an old man. But she also kind of looked like Amanda Bynes.
She looked like she was from She's the Man. Yeah. Do you think it would have been more insulting if he like, but he was like, I can't even recognize you, which could be insulting. But also if he'd instantly recognized her, it might have been more insulting.
Yeah, I think so. Like, yeah. That was good, though, that she just like made jokes the whole time. And I think he really liked it. We also had the scene that, of course, you knew that we were going to pair up Ariba and Zoe Claire.
Such a coincidence.
Yeah. And then Nicole.
And then they had poor like Nicole being like, okay.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I thought like what Zoe Claire did here was not that bad.
Yeah. People were so mad about the popping. Why? Yeah,
she was so mad that she was like, oh, help me get up on the counter, LOL. And like, I thought it was a good move by Zoe Claire to kind of get his attention like this.
Yeah, I agree. Such a good move. Like, it's the same thing with Ariba. Like, she's allowed to interrupt. Might as well kind of get that time with him. But then Zoe Claire was so mad about it. Like, same thing here. Like, Ariba and everyone seemed really offended by the propping, which was like such a minor and like savvy thing to do. So I was confused by it.
Right. I was trying to figure out what the scene was supposed to be, because wasn't it supposed to be a blind date? So why were there two women there in a very similar sparkly dress? The bartender. It was like a red one and a striped version of the same dress. So
yeah, when they were talking about romantic comedies, like, I thought they were going to do scenes from iconic romantic comedies, which would have been way better than just like meeting, like basically just a relationship timeline in these like terrible photo shoots. Like, does anyone want these photos of him like picking out a ring? Like, who cares?
Yeah. What were these stakes? Where were they going to publish this?
Because he said in the paper, apparently.
Yeah. For what? Like, under what? Like, are they like going to advertise something?
No. Like, here are these completely random pictures in the paper. So they always publish them somewhere. Like, there was a season where they were the cover of romance novels. But I think they're usually like in a lifestyle magazine or the paper. So what is the news story behind this? Like, woman dresses as man, impresses bachelor.
Yeah, we had one where they were going to be in, I think it was Cosmo, right, Haley? But then one of the girls was, one was problematic. Was
racist, so they didn't put her in.
Oh, I think
come on, man.
That was from Peter season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched that.
Let's see. I was going to say, Lockie said that he loves rom-coms. Did he ever bring that up on Survivor?
Did he
strike you as a rom-com aficionado?
No. But as I said, he's really emotional. Like, get him some chocolate and some tissues. Like, I wouldn't be surprised watching him, like, cry along. suddenly 30 or something. I could see it. Like, Lockie will surprise you. Like, if I was thinking about, like, his allies, for example, like, they're pretty varied. It's not like he could just hang with the bros. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'm willing to be surprised by Lockie throughout this season.
Yeah, that's exciting. Then we had the family dinner scene, as we talked about. Steph was the dad. Maddie was the mom. Didn't talk much about Maddie. She's the primary school teacher, I believe. She brought in the chalkboard, and then she didn't know he was on Survivor, but she liked that he was on Survivor. She thought that made him hotter. So does that win you any points, Shannon?
No. Because she doesn't know what Survivor is. She doesn't know a guy who's been on two seasons of it. So she doesn't know what's making him hotter. She doesn't know what she probably thinks it's like Naked and Afraid, which for Lockie at times it was. He was both naked and afraid at different times on the show. But
me both.
We had Irina as the girlfriend. Laura was the jealous younger sister, but they really were all jealous of Steph because he really only had eyes for Steph in that one, it seemed like. But he did say he felt really natural with Irina, that she fit that role. Do you think Lockie chose the roles or the producers chose the roles?
I definitely think producers. Like, if it had been different, then Nicole wouldn't have been the bartender, for example. They would put Irina there because that's like such obvious potential. They want the girls to be jealous, but I definitely think the producers would be choosing it.
Then the last scene was the jewelry store. We had Rosemary as the store clerk and Roxy was the fiance. And then we saw the women getting upset that Roxy was really playing the part of being his fiance and, you know, acting like she was engaged already. How dare she?
Yeah, I mean, he said he thought like Roxy was really sexy, but I felt like zero chemistry between them.
I find Roxy very attractive, but I just don't. And like, I could see them together in a different world, but not this world.
Yeah, like she came out of nowhere a bit in this episode.
Yeah, they look good together, but he was so taken with Bella, and he just said that he was lost in her eyes. And so I just wonder if like she's more his type, like if he likes more the demure brunette. But we don't see a lot of women with like a ton of tattoos on Bachelor US, and I think we should see more of it. Like, she had full sleeves and I really like that look. And then I thought they were gonna have one person kind of win and be like the wedding dress photo shoot, but no, we see,
I think that's what everyone thought.
Yeah.
I think that was what was kind of dang. It was like the fake merge in Survivor.
Yeah. And then, nope, somebody already came in wearing the wedding dress, walked up to him, and it's an intruder. And so I was shocked because I didn't know there were intruders were in play at all in Bachelor Australia. And how do you think she handled, how do you think Caitlin handled being the intruder?
I thought she handled it well. She was just kind of like, hello, I'm here. I thought nobody else handled it well. Like, people were like very upset about a guy they met yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were crying. And
tears.
Yeah. I was trying to work out why. Like, about, you know, what the final image would be. And he was like, but who will be in that final photo? And obviously it sounded like whoever won the group date.
Oh, okay. That's how he phrased it. Yeah.
So they were, he never said it was going to be you, but like, obviously they all assumed that. Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that that was like dangled and taken away was upsetting. They were all like really upset that she was in a wedding dress as well. Like, for me, I don't know. I wore like a really disgustingly huge and like, you know, gaudy wedding dress in year 12 when I did my drama monologue. So like, I don't put that much stock in like wearing a wedding dress unless it's going to be my wedding dress. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they were like that upset that she was just like, she's not marrying him. It's okay. Yeah. Like, she is wearing a wedding dress, but they aren't actually getting married. So you guys will be okay. But they were genuinely crying. Like, I thought they really got the drama out of it.
Yeah. Well, she did get extra time with him too, because it wouldn't have been fair if she...
That did feel unfair, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Steph deserved that rose. Like, she deserved the time. She went through it. She didn't get to wear a dress at all. She had to be a man. Yeah. So she should have got the extra time.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else from this episode? Or, Shannon, would you like to get into the questions that we got?
I'm happy to move on from the episode, but I do have a game.
Ooh.
I would like to play.
That sounds fun.
So some context for the game
Okay.
is that So you've got Osha, right? The yes. host, who is like a national meme in how he talks quietly. His hair is really stiff. And he's like one of our biggest public figures. So like he's also hosting The Masked Singer, which is Monday, Tuesday here. So he's on TV four nights a week at the moment.
Yeah, I noticed like everyone was so excited when he walked in. But I guess everyone gets so excited when Chris Harrison walks in. So I wasn't sure if he was like a big celebrity or if just because he's the Bachelor host or...
People love it. Like, he also used to host Australian Idol, but, like, he's definitely iconic as the Bachelor host.
Okay.
And he loves Survivor. Like, he was live-tweeting Survivor at the time. So at least he knew who Lockie is.
Mm-hmm.
So he live-tweets the episodes of The Bachelor, but so did Jonathan LaPaglia, who's the Survivor host, who is hilarious. So I wanted to do a game, JLP or Usher, of their tweets, which my cousin Justine said I should call Guns or Roses, which I think is like the best name for a game ever. Because JLP is really muscular, to explain that further.
Okay, perfect.
All right. All right. So who should we go with first? Who wants to go?
I'll go.
All right. So who said this? Welcome to Savatula. 23 women with nothing but the clothes on their backs must work together and learn to adapt or be voted out. What could possibly go wrong?
What were my two options?
JLP or Usher? Guns or Roses?
Guns is
the Survivor host.
The not host, right? Okay, Guns.
Yeah. So, okay, you were right. That was the Survivor host, JLP. So I'm going to give you a point. All right. Who said this? So there's a gif of Irina saying, yeah, a little bit up there when she was taking his heart rate on the red carpet. And then the tweet says, having seen him mostly naked a few times, there's more than a little bit everywhere else, I assure you.
So that has to be Guns, right? Because he's seen him naked.
Weirdly, that was Usher.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. So that's wrong. So you don't get a point. All right. Next question. So there was a picture of Lockie saying, this is going to be hard. And then the tweet said, he's talking about his choices, right?
Roses.
Yes. Two to nothing. All right. I can't do the math of when this should end. But, okay, next tweet. Zoe and Ariba should settle this with a good old-fashioned wrestling mud wrestling challenge.
Guns.
Yes, 2-1. This is actually the last question I have. So the game's over.
Sorry.
But I'll ask it anyway because it's my favorite one. It says, pooing your pants in a penguin suit would totally suck.
Roses.
No, that was JLP. So 2-1. But also that tweet, like there's no context for why, like the penguin suit, yes. What about pooing your pants? Like who would do that?
Yeah, what brought that that thought? Did he do that previously or...
Yeah, has he pooed his pants in a penguin suit? I don't know what the context of that. Like, clearly some weird tweets. I have some other tweets here. Just like some strange tweets. Like, Osha tweeted, did we just let a whispered F word go to air? Did you hear that? I think it was Zoe Claire. Did she say the F word live on TV?
I don't, like, I remember hearing it, but it's hard to say.
Because at the time, I turned to my husband. I'm like, did she just say far out or did she say the F word? Yeah, and Osha also said the ladies love it when I whip it out with a gif of him taking out the date card.
Oh wow.
And so pre-season Jonathan LaPaglia actually edited a photo of Lockie to have his face, so he was Lockie, and then he edited the rose to be a tiny little Lockie, and then he said, Osha, will you accept this Lockie? And Osha said yes.
That I love.
They clearly have a lot of fun. They are, yeah.
Yeah. JLP apparently does all of his own photoshopping, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, he can kind of go against the grain. Like, they're for Australian Survivor, they only announced, like, half the cast, which they did announce Lockie, not that any of these girls would know. And they didn't announce, like, a female fan favorite. So he went totally rogue and on his social media would just edit her into pictures and, like, talk about how she's going to be on the show, which was completely against what the network wanted. So they've spent the last couple of episodes just tweeting about it, which has been one of the more enjoyable parts.
So funny. Yeah, I can't imagine Jeff Probst and Chris Harrison live tweeting the Bachelor together. I would love to see it.
Yeah, though. Very, very different. Well, and also, you know, for this is how connected the shows are that, as I said, Osha came on our like Survivor analysis show talking tribal. And for the finale of All Stars, which Lockie wasn't at because he was filming The Bachelor, but JLP couldn't get back into the country because of the border restrictions, and Osha actually hosted.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Bachelor, I'm actually surprised because they've done, you know, a few champions and contender seasons of Australian Survivor with notable public figures, and they've had some other people involved with Channel 10. I'm really surprised they've never had like a Bachelor contestant on. Maybe no one wants to do it.
Yeah, maybe this is time for the crossover, though.
I think if they were to do it again, surely they'd get like an old Bachelor contestant or Bachelorette contestant on as a public figure.
You can't tell me in all of the Bachelor and Bachelor contestants, there's not like one or two that are like, you know what, why not? I would do Survivor.
Yeah, I mean, they're all very fame hungry.
Exactly.
They can go on Bachelor in Paradise, but I would think like even some of like the old leads surely would. Well, that there's a Bachelorette who's been on literally four Channel 10 shows, and instead, except for Survivor. So that would kind of be kind of probably ticking all of the boxes on bingo for her. So she'll probably have to go on eventually.
That'd be perfect.
All right. Questions?
Questions.
Rich Batch asks, which of JLP's sayings should Osha adopt? He has some suggestions. 1,281 bottles of wine, 24 girls, one batchy. Come on in, ladies. Worth playing for. In this game, roses represent your life. I'm sorry, X. The law of he has spoken.
I like the rose represents your life.
I also like that.
I like come on in, ladies. I feel like I can work in a lot of scenarios.
Yeah, JLP tweeted that he did want Osha to look at his feet and yell, come on in, ladies. So that one is JLP sanctioned. I think they could be doing more. Like, I think Osha put in one pun about Lockie's surviving things. I think they could have done a lot more, and I think it would have been interesting if like they like snuffed a rose or something. Would have just been really funny, but again, the crossover audience seems so minimal that who would have enjoyed that?
I was waiting for the confirmation, like for Charlie to like ask him in front of everyone, like, so you were on Survivor, but it didn't seem like there was ever like that moment, you know, where she had to prove whether she needed to shave her eyebrows off or not.
Yeah. Well, again, if they had just literally turned on any end of TV, they probably would have seen him sitting on the jury at that exact time. That's crazy. There was an episode probably that night, right out of the week, that he was on the jury. So, all right. Alicia Rosen asks, who is more of a villain, Ariba, Laura, or Zoe Claire?
I think Zoe Claire was probably the boldest villain. I think maybe Laura is the person I'd least like to run into in real life. And I think Ariba is just, I don't think she's like a true villain.
I agree. That would be my, like, if you had to ding, marry, kill the villains in terms of their villainous, like, you'd marry Zoe Claire because she's a villain for life. Not a banger for life, but she is a villain for life.
Yeah.
You'd kill Ariba in terms of, because she's not really as much of a villain. And you'd ding Laura because she's always going to give you a good confessional, like a good time.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. Talking TV says, how many contestants are trying to get camera time by playing a Kira type role? Kira was like a Corinne type of villain. And I thought this was an interesting question because Bachelor in Paradise is only just had its third season. So what I think has been a big deal in the US for a while is only kind of like a new phenomenon now, where I think people are coming on to be on Bachelor in Paradise and maybe even have multiple turns on Bachelor in Paradise. Like Kira was the villain, almost like Zoe Claire, and then came on Bachelor in Paradise and actually left with a guy and they were in like a serious relationship and it ended, and then she came back. So basically like she's synonymous with the franchise at this point, and I feel like now the Bachelor in Paradise is becoming a bigger thing. People are seeing that opportunity to kind of have this be their career.
That's kind of like Crystal to me, Amy, in like our version of like nobody liked her. She came on, she found a guy, got married, they broke up. Maybe she'll be on the next season of Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, she could be. Yeah, I think that's definitely Laura, but I don't know that she has come out as a villain with the other women yet. It's more the confessionals, more not just fitting with Lockie at all, his ideals or anything. But her confessionals, like, did she say something like, that's, you know, that's my boyfriend, that's my husband. But I think like she doesn't really feel that strong of a connection yet, or can tell that she's not front runner, but wants to, you know, talk it up like it is.
Yeah. Like I could buy that Ariba and Zoe Claire do like him. Mm-hmm. But Laura clearly doesn't. So she's definitely there to build her Instagram. You know, like, as in they're all there to do that. Mm-hmm. But she's the one who's, like, the most obvious about it, because she, like, she's not going to be with a guy who has completely different values to her in every way. Like, she probably, I think she actively dislikes Lockie at this point.
And yeah, she thinks he's hot, but she has no interest in, like, talking to him and having a conversation with him.
She would never go to Bali. She wouldn't even visit.
Yeah. She wouldn't even visit him. Like, how will, she won't even visit him in Bali. So, how's that gonna work? Yeah.
Lockie, I will come visit you in Bali. Sign me up for that. I do not wish to do any adventure.
Yeah.
But I will go to Bali, for sure.
I think she's willing to go to Fiji for Bachelor in Paradise, where you just have to, like, lie around and be good TV, which is what she wants to do.
Yeah. Again, I'm willing to go to Fiji, willing to go to Australia. I'm willing to go anywhere at this point. I have not left the region in, like, 6 months.
Yeah, I would love to be able to leave my country.
6 months.
I'll go anywhere. Yeah.
Well, we're about to see that with them, you know, just in isolation together after the Zoom dates. How much time do you think they'll dedicate to the 3 months or so they spent away? Like, how many episodes of Zoom dates are we getting?
Oh my gosh.
Well, like, at least 2 weeks, you would think, right? Like, I feel like that's a lot of time. Or did they only do, like, one Zoom date per week? So they, you know, like, is he going to have a Zoom roast ceremony?
He'll have to. You can just tell them to, like, force eject them from the meeting when they're gone.
You have now been muted from the line.
Camera off. I think for me, that, like, that'll be a bit hard to watch. Like, I don't think they should do more than an episode or two, kind of catching us up on the Zoom stuff, because that's going to be kind of brutal.
Were you surprised that they didn't just stop production completely?
Well, I'd heard that they'd stop production because, obviously, pandemic. And then I heard rumors that someone was there were paparazzi shots of someone in a park in a onesie on a group Zoom date. So when I saw, like, the Zoom, I wasn't that surprised, but it did sound completely unbelievable. Like, so much of this is unbelievable to me, that it's a Survivor player who's also just, like, a really random mid-tier Survivor player. And then there is Zoom. Like, I keep saying that if you were to play this podcast to me a year ago, that would be, like, very confronting for me. There would be a lot of things about this that I would feel like I didn't even know. Well, I was only finding out about All Stars a year ago, so that there was an All Star season for Lockie to come on and be the Bachelor in a pandemic that had to be shut down, and there were Zoom dates. That's a lot in that sentence.
Yeah, I really assumed that Lockie was, like, fan favorite, you know.
No.
If I had predicted, I would have thought maybe, like, went out, like, when Malcolm did or something, like, kind of just, like, was, like, just the clear fan favorite, or, yeah, more like the Joe Anglim type.
In his first season, he did come fifth, but, there, like, in his first season, there were other people that were probably being crushed on harder than him. And they were definitely way more favorites. And then when he came back in All, like, you would think that then they would edit him in All Stars to be the Bachelor, like, give him, like, a really heroic edit. But he, like, was just kind of, like, he was part of an alliance, like, a big alliance, and they got taken out of the merge, but it wasn't a big deal. And they showed him saying some misogynistic things. Why do that to your own lead? Doesn't really make sense, but...
He's a flawed character. He's yeah. Do you think that more people are watching because it's Lockie, like, more Survivor fans watching, or is it just kind of like we saw with the women, like, The Bachelor has their separate audience and Survivor has its separate audience?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me because I'm so in the Survivor world. Definitely, like, my brother is watching, and he wouldn't have watched if A, his girlfriend wasn't making him, and B, it was Lockie.
Yeah.
So I think, like, it might capture a few people, also people who are bored in lockdown. But, like, Lockie doesn't have that big a fan base that I feel like people would necessarily watch for him. Mm-hmm. But I even think, like, there are people, like, international people who love Survivor who are watching for Lockie. So it maybe grabbed a few people watching illegally.
Yeah. We can count two of them right here on this podcast.
Exactly.
Well, this has been so much fun, Shannon. I've never gotten to podcast with you before. And I think somebody tweeted that this was an international love triangle that they could get behind. And,
yeah. It is, isn't it? Look at us. Three so different countries. So much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing this to us. Yeah.
This is the international cultural joke that everyone can't get at the moment. Yeah. Stuck inside their houses, but hearing the three of us talk about Australian Bachelor.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm super excited to keep watching, hopefully finding ways to keep watching. Shannon, where can people find you? People that might not know who you are, if they're from our Bachelor audience. I don't know why they wouldn't have caught something you've been doing, but let everybody know where to find you.
I'm at Shannon Gaitz, Shannongaitz on Instagram and Twitter. I'll probably be tweeting about The Bachelor here and there. So definitely, you know, check that out. We got an Australian Survivor calendar before All-Stars, and Lockie Ooh. Is Mr. August. So Ooh, did they know he was going to be The Bachelor?
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He looks good, you know. But I have a magnet of my friend Nick Idanza, who did the Australian Survivor coverage before I did, from Talking Tribal. They did like a thing with magnets with all the contestants, so I stole his, and I like to put his face over the calendar to see what he will look like. So that's what I have, is I've got Lockie with Nick's giant head on top of
it. That is so good.
Yeah. And Haley, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @strong_, and you can check out my blog strongtakes.ca, and I often make appearances on Beyond Top Chef or HAPA. And if you want to hear me talk about Big Brother on the podcast, tweet Rob and ask him for me. I keep telling him, I'm like, if you want me to talk about Big Brother, you got to get me in the first like 3 weeks before I fall off the wagon.
You need to be on the Slop podcast for sure.
Yes, that I think is a good fit.
And you can find me on Twitter at RHAP Recapper. And thank you everyone for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.